So I'm Sean Gleason. I'm a research physiologist. I work for USDA in Fort Collins. My goal here today is pretty simple, really. If I can convince some of you that if we're going to make plants that perform better in drier environments, that we need to improve the xylem traits, so the tissue that actually transports water. And as of today, there's almost no one actually looking at this. Present breeding efforts and transgenic efforts are largely not addressing this at all. And there's some good reasons for this, but nevertheless, I want to bring this to everyone's attention. This kind of all started as a thought experiment a few years ago. Just kind of standing around thinking, if I had a magic wand and I could put any trait I wanted to in any species, which traits would I put into plants in dry land environments? In my knee-jerk reaction then, and my more thoughtful response is now xylem traits, because even back then, with the limited data sets we had available, there was a clear climate signal between these plants. These are kind of the traits in black that a lot of people are looking at and aggressively pursuing. But xylem trait is certainly at the bottom of the list. Just to make this point a bit more clear, I did a research review earlier this year, and what I did was I looked at every breeding paper, every published report on transgenics or gene modification that dealt with either protein or osmotics or stomata or whatever their drought trace of choice was. So there's 1,704 published reports on protein, over 700 on osmotics, stomata photosynthesis get a good share. There's only 11 on xylem that are actually addressing xylem. And of those 11 studies, only 7 are actually addressing xylem in crop or forestry species. I actually had to make this box bigger so that you could see it on the slide today. Otherwise, it would just look like a line. So it's true. Almost no one's looking at this. What I'd like to do is just describe briefly the theoretical reasons why I think this is important, and then also I'm gonna show some empirical data, which is actually the clearest picture we have of this test. So xylem doesn't only transport water from the roots to the leaves. Xylem's important in the leaves themselves. I have a stained image here on the right. These are phloem and xylem vascular bundles. So every plant needs xylem. Okay, so even lettuce to eucalyptus needs xylem. And like all biological systems, it's prone to failure. I'm just going to skip through these pretty pictures. They're not important. This is a micro-CT image of a maize cross-section that we did this summer. And I just wanted to bring your attention to the areas in the ovals. And I hope you can see this. The image on the left is a fully hydrated plant, and you can't see any individual conduits that are transporting water. And that's because all the conduits in this image are fully functional and they're full of water. And because the density of water and the density of the matrix around the vessel are similar, you can't see it. But if you look at the image on the right, you can see that every single one of the conduits in this cross-section are cavitated. They're embolized, they're filled with air. What that means is this cross-section here, which is only at -3 megapascals, is completely dysfunctional. The point I want to make from this image is every single process that happens downstream from here is almost irrelevant. Whether we're looking at osmotics, or we're looking at protein integrity, or we're looking at ABA signaling, if they're not getting water, all those processes are basically failing. This can be illustrated graphically with a loss of conductance curve. So on the y-axis, I have conductance of the xylem. On the x-axis, I have leaf water potential, which is kind of simply aridity. So if we think about atmospheric or soil aridity moving along the x-axis, as the xylem in the leaves and the stems, they begin to dry out, they fill with gas, like the image I showed before, and they begin to lose conductance. There are two traits that I think are important that we can extract from a plot like this. The first is the safety of the xylem. So how safe is the xylem designed to resist this process of having the water replaced with gas? And that has to do with the slope of this curve and how far the curve is away from the origin. The second trait of importance off this figure is the horizontal asymptote, which relates to the maximum efficiency of the xylem in the fully hydrated state. And so these are the two traits I'm going to talk about briefly: the efficiency of xylem, the safety of xylem, the two things that I think we should be focusing a lot of research effort on. So in thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know, what's the best test that I can think of this? And I started thinking about the distribution of water across the Earth's surface, and we know that the distribution of water is heterogeneous. And so if we consider the heterogeneous distribution of water across the Earth's ecosystems, the question I asked is, how has the distribution of this affected the traits that we find in those ecosystems? And so we may expect, if these are important, natural selection has tuned these in particular environments, we should expect to see a signal with climate. First, I'm going to just show some relationships with efficiency. Every point on this, on each of these plots, is an individual species. The colors represent different biomes. These data are from the Xylem Trait Working Group. It's the clearest picture of this analysis that we have available to us. I have mean annual precipitation on the left panel, and the right panel is soil water aridity, proxied by pre-dawn leaf water potential. You can think of pre-dawn leaf water potential as how difficult it is to extract water from the soil where the roots actually exist. As we can see, mean annual precipitation and pre-dawn water potential are predicting about between 15 and 25% of the variation in efficiency. And, you know, depending on whether you're a biologist or a physicist or whatever, you might be thinking, well, an R squared of 0.25, that's kind of terrible. But in studies like this, I mean, what this is actually telling us, I think, is that a single trait that we can measure in a plant can predict up to 25% of the distribution of angiosperms across the world. And so it's actually a very good relationship. The second trait, safety, again, if we look at soil water potential, explaining about 22%, another good signal. However, up until now, we've only been considering xylem that's in branches and its stems. If we look at the xylem that's in leaves, if you remember that little plot that I showed that was in red, now we're getting R-squareds of up around 0.7. And so if I didn't get your attention with an R-squared of 0.2, maybe 0.7 will be better. And what I'm bringing home from this is that these traits have been very strongly tuned by natural selection in these environments. The last xylem trait I'm just going to throw up is the leaf area to xylem area ratio. And this is the amount of leaf area that's kind of supported by a given amount of xylem cross-section. And we have the usual fairly good correlations here, but the one thing I wanted to point out, show you the mouse, is that all the productive plants, the productive species and ecosystems are in this zone here, so these are rainforests. And what I wanted to point out is what's driving the efficiency of these ecosystems and these species are not leaf-level traits. They're not traits like maximum assimilation rate. They're not traits like electron transport. They're xylem traits. It's how much leaf area that are actually being stuck on the ends of these branches. And to make that point more clear, this is the relationship with maximal assimilation across the globe, and there's no relationship at all. So you're just as likely to find a productive leaf in a dry environment as in a wet environment. I think one of the reasons probably why people are reluctant to notice the importance of xylem traits is there's this old chestnut in ecophysiology that it's impossible to have xylem that is both efficient and safe. And it's a very logical kind of idea. So more specifically, the traits that confer efficiency are the exact same traits that prevent that xylem from being safe. So there's this very physical, morphological trade-off forcing this relationship. This is widely accepted. It's widely accepted even across people that should probably know better. This is what the relationship actually looks like. This is the clearest picture we have of this bivariate relationship. So I've got efficiency on the x-axis, safety on the y-axis. The point I'd make from this is that this is a significant inverse correlation we might expect, but it's only explaining 6% of the variation. There's only 6% covariation. And personally, I don't even care if this is significant, if it's only explaining 6% of the variation. What I would take home from this is that safety and efficiency are varying almost orthogonally to one another. And if we think of a species like maize, which is down here, and it's down here in this corner of the plot, which I would kindly call the incompetent corner, because maize is neither achieving high safety or high efficiency, there's no reason why natural selection could not push this into any trait space that it would desire. So there seems to be a lot of improvement possible in these species. Okay, another way to look at this is if we plot aridity to these safety relationships. So on this figure, we have increasing xylem tension or drier habitats as we move up in the y-axis. On the x-axis, we have increasing safety. So for any degree of safety, we have a degree of risk that's happening across here, because risk is going to move up in this direction. And probably rightly so that what people are noticing is that one thing you can do, and again, this is maize, is that there are a lot of species that have the same safety as maize, but they push themselves a lot higher. So one way forward might be to design plants that maintain stomatal conductance through moderate periods of drought and push them up here. And there's people that are working this in soybean, and it's a good idea. But all I'm saying is that I think what we really want to do is we want to improve the safety and then push it way up higher. And then we've got a maize genotype that's not behaving like maize, but something more like sorghum. So why aren't people interested in xylem traits? I did mention there's some good reasons. The first reason is these xylem-climate relationships have really only been coming to light recently through the connectivity of large data sets. We had smaller pictures of this before, but nothing like we have now. The second is that it's really difficult to measure this across genotypes. I mean, you can forget about high-throughput phenotyping. These are labor-intensive measurements that need to be measured. The second thing is the very few studies that have actually looked at this have found little heritable variation in xylem safety or efficiency. Now, I'll state that this is no trouble at all for natural selection. Heritable variation doesn't even matter for natural selection. But for breeding, where we only have a few generations to improve species, it makes a big difference. We need that heritable variation, and it may not be there. And the last point is that the genetics of this are going to be very complicated. This isn't going to be one gene that codes for one phenotype. There are going to be multiple genes that code for the traits that we want, and these genes in themselves are probably coding for other things that we don't want to change. So it's a bit more complicated than that. I'm going to skip all the summary except the bottom, and I'm just going to say that it's my feeling that improvements in efficiency and safety are possible, and they're difficult, and the last thing I'm saying is they are necessary. If we continue to only improve leaf-level traits, the xylem's going to fail, and all these other processes are dependent on xylem. So if it's difficult, but we have to do it. Yeah. So they were looking at vessel diameters in wheat, and there's no relationship between a vessel diameter and safety, and that's kind of another one of these beliefs. So there's a very strong with efficiency, but not with safety. Yes. Yeah. And that's actually one of the seven studies that I said. But, yeah. I like this. Yes, sir.
Breeding is often done visually. Breeders traditionally go out and look at a set of plots and see characteristics that they like. Because you're looking at an anatomical characteristic, which is obviously important, what sort of guidance could you provide for breeders in this instance that would help them to elucidate the traits that you're looking for?
Not much, except that these are difficult things to measure. They're not things that we're going to see. There's no easy proxy measurement that we can have, like transpiration efficiency or something. It's just difficult. It's going to be difficult to do. And I fully appreciate that. It's just that it's going to be necessary, I think, if we're going to see meaningful improvements in plants. We're going to have to improve the xylem as well. I wish I had a better solution for the best way forward, but.
Well, I think you've taken a big step here by bringing it all to us.
Okay.
To
thank you.
Attention. Well, thank you.
Thank you.